recently have been covering the Patrick Kane case, and that's really what's sort of taken everything to a whole new level. There's always been, you know, the guys who say, like, you know, I hope someone kills you, or you should be raped, or someone should rape your dead corpse, kind of stuff. But they're just kind of, you know, few and far between, and it's easy to just block those guys and kind of go on with your day. But when I started talking about Patrick Kane and wasn't saying what a certain group of fans think I should be saying about it, it sort of just came in a deluge, and it was like a nonstop kind of thing where, you know, every day for, you know, 10 days a week, whatever, I would just have all these threats one after another. And usually they would delete them, you know, and they weren't all threats. A lot of them were just like, this is what I hope happens to you. And some of them were a little more specific and a little more frightening, but it just came kind of, you know, one after another, after another, after another. And they had sort of their own little echo chamber going and their own little organized campaign. And I just hit the point where I just had had enough. I was just completely sick of it. Like, no one should have that happen to them in real life or online. And I know it's not the first time it's happened, because I was seeing other sports reporters get exactly the same thing thrown at them. And so it just was sort of, you know, one of those things that you just sit down and you're really honked off and you start writing, and that's what came out.
What has the response been to this article? I know that it was shared a lot through social media. And what kind of response have you gotten to it?
So it's been really overwhelmingly positive. There's been a lot of support, especially from other women who work in sports, women who work on women's issues, and tons of guys as well. So, I mean, I couldn't ask for more support that I've gotten since I've written it. It's really sad and sort of shocking that even women who reach what we consider to be, you know, the upper echelon of sports reporting, like Michelle Beadle and Katie Nolan and all those people, they've had the exact same thing. And, you know, I talked to Jamel Hill for the article, and everyone's saying, you know, oh, yeah, this happens to me all the time. Thanks for writing it. So it really was quite eye-opening for me.
You know, you mentioned some of the things from the Patrick Kane investigation that really took it up to another level. If I remember reading correctly, you had a day where you had to work from home just because you didn't feel safe. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a day where I, you know, I had all these guys say things like, I hope that you get killed with a hockey puck. I hope that the Blackhawks beat you to death. I hope that so-and-so rapes you, you know, that kind of stuff. But there was one guy who sort of took a picture of the entrance to my building and tweeted it at me and said, this is where you go into your office every day, right? And to me, that was a little close to home. And so, it wasn't a death threat like I saw some reports. It wasn't that the police told me to stay home. But, I talked to my husband about it, and I talked to my family, and I talked to my boss, and everybody decided it was a good day, you know, to just sort of stay home and kind of let everything settle down.
So you mentioned that this is something you've dealt with for a long time. I think you gave an example of when you were first writing online, something about the Cubs maybe about 10 years ago, where you got some really vulgar comment in response to something you wrote. How have you dealt with this up until now for so long?
No, it sort of depends on the day that you catch me. Most of the time I just mute someone or block someone and just kind of think they're an idiot. They're not worth my time. Other days, I'm feeling a little more proactive, and I put these guys on blast so that everyone can see the kind of things they say. And there was one guy who said to me the worst thing that's ever been said to me on my Facebook page. And I, you know, clicked through and looked at his profile, and he had his employer and everything on there. And it happens that he worked in a school with a lot of young girls around. And the comment he made to me was extremely misogynistic and extremely, extremely vulgar. And so I screenshotted it and I sent it to his employer and I said, I think you should know this is what your employee says online to women. That was the most that I've ever done to someone. And he caught me on a really bad day when I was just absolutely sick of it. But, you know, I think it is kind of easy to just take that don't feed the trolls mentality. But, you know, they just keep going. That's the problem, is that these guys just keep going. And so, you know, that doesn't always work. And I really think that a lot of women have sort of decided we need to kind of stand up for ourselves.
How do you think that sports can evolve somewhat through some of the things that you're writing, through some of the things that other people are writing, to try and maybe change some of this behavior?
That's a good question. I guess the good thing is that we've seen so many people sort of, you know, read it and send it out to other people. That head of the NFL Players Association, I know, tweeted it out, and I've seen a lot of really prominent male reporters and media people sort of, you know, tweet it out and draw attention to it. And I think the first thing is that you don't just deal with it on your own. You can't just sit there and, you know, just mute someone and not say anything. I really think that it's you know, a part of women who are in sports media drawing together and supporting each other and helping each other fight back against this. And then I think that there's got to be some, you know, shouting down from the guys, because the men that do this clearly don't respect women in any way. They're not going to listen to anything we say. So it's going to have to come from their peers. And, you know, maybe it's one of those kinds of things that's going to have to come from athletes and people that they respect, because, it's, you know, clearly they have no respect for the women that they're talking to. So it's a really good question. It's a hard question. I think it's one of those areas that sports sort of lags behind other fields in. I mean, and all the time I was a lawyer, I never had anyone talk to me like that, no matter how angry they were at me. So, you know, it's a little bit behind the times, and they're going to have to find a way to catch up.
Well, and I think it's illustrated by some of the issues that the NFL has gone through, for instance, with Ray Rice and other cases where, you know, fans see the athletes, you know, behaving badly toward women, and perhaps they take that as modeling for their own behavior.
Yeah, I think some of that is probably true. And I also think there's this idea among this, I think it's a very small group of men, but they're very vocal. And I think it's the idea, too, that, you know, women have invaded, in their mind, every other area of their life, and they feel that sports is the one bastion they have, where they don't have to deal with women around. They don't have to watch what they say and be, as they would say, really politically correct. And now that women are starting to invade that space, they're upset about that, and they really want, you know, to sort of make you feel unwelcome and unsafe, and they're going to do whatever they can to try to push you out. The thing I don't think these guys realize is that so many of us in my generation and the girls coming after me is that we all grew up with sports around. You know, most of us were athletes. A lot of us are huge sports fans, just like our brothers from the time that we're born. So, you know, the people, the demographic who watches sports is changing. And you know, the way that, you know, the media is formed and the way people respond to that media is going to have to change as well.
Well, Julie, we've been talking about a very serious topic here for the last several minutes. Before I let you go, I'd like to lighten things up just a little bit by talking a little sports here with you. And certainly, you know, the Bears are not off to a good start, but the Cubs going toward the playoffs. How far do you think the Northsiders can get this October?
Oh, gosh, it's going to be really tough because we've been struggling with Pittsburgh lately. And we're going to wind up playing them in the playoff game. You know, in a one-game matchup against Pittsburgh, I feel pretty good because the Cubs can put Arrieta out there. Having to go against someone like the Cardinals in an NLDS is a little bit tougher because our pitching staff is not that deep. So I think at this point, you know, for most of us fans, this is a year ahead of what we expected. We thought this year the team would be more competitive, but we certainly didn't expect anything like what we're seeing. So, you know, we all think, of course, that, you know, there's always that Cub fan optimism that they can go, you know, into the NLCS. If we make it into the NLDS and play a great series against the Cardinals, I think most people will be happy.